you say transparency is the key. You know, how does, I know that they push out a budget book every year. You see, you can go online, see a lot of spending. The term transparency, what are we talking about here?
Transparency means making it clear to both the policymakers, including state elected officials and bureaucrats, as well as the general public and other stakeholders, what it is the state's doing. And one of the key things is looking at the intergenerational impact. If they're making decisions today that are, the phrase, kicking the can down the road and imposing additional burdens on future generations, we need to know that. And that's an important part of transparency.
You mentioned also long-term forecasting. You're going to be talking about that. When we talk long-term, it seems as though I often hear lawmakers only talking about the budget year that's ahead of them. Are they really looking that far down the road?
It does seem like elected officials in particular focus on the next year because that's what their constituents are most concerned about. Here in Illinois, we do multi-year revenue and expenditure forecasting, both the Governor's Office of Management and Budget and the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability do it. And typically, we look at anywhere, for example, for 3 years into the future. Going farther is a little harder, but we don't want to just look at the next year. We want to see what's coming.
So those are good things that Illinois is doing. What are some things Illinois is not doing that it should be?
Well, probably the biggest one is Illinois is not paying its bills. And I think we've seen the growth of the unpaid vendor bills and then the pension liabilities and then something else called other post-employment benefits, which is putting aside for retirees' health insurance. And then the state also should be doing what many other states are doing, is having a rainy day fund, some kind of putting money aside in case it rains, i.e. an economic recession. And it's not a matter of if that'll occur. It's more a matter of when and how deep.
That does have a rainy day fund, though, correct, in the budget?
They call it the Budget Stabilization Fund, and even at the height of its funding, it was only $276 million, which is less than 0.1% of the state budget. And then it got spent down during the budget impasse, and now there's just a very minimal balance. So, no, I would say on paper we have it, but it's not funded.
I would guess there are people listening who might say, you know, I know Illinois' budget is a mess, and I bet it's the worst in the country, and Illinois is not doing anything about it. But you're looking at what a lot of states have done in best practices. Is Illinois overall, you know, trying to dig itself out in some ways? Is it doing at least enough to get itself on that path forward, or are we really as bad as many people think?
Well, clearly the increase in the income tax rate was addressing a big part of the problem. Unfortunately, it's not sufficient. There are still a big gap in the budget, and then there also are these unpaid liabilities. So it was a step in the right direction. I don't like taxes any more than anybody else does, but I also don't like pushing the fiscal burden onto our children and grandchildren. That's not fair. These are the services we're consuming today, and we should be paying for them today.
And that seems to be really at the root of some of the problems, isn't it? That the state of Illinois, I don't want to say people aren't being truthful about how the budget is put together and the, you know, revenues and expenditures and such. But at the same time, this important conversation is not being held with the voters, with the public and the taxpayers about what needs to be done. That's not getting through.
I think that's true, Sean. And I think the analogy I like to use is, what if I just started supporting myself on my credit card and say, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. My kid's got a good job and they'll pay it off later. And that's not fair. We wouldn't do that to our children in a personal point of view, and we shouldn't be doing that to future generations from a public point of view.
We're talking with Professor Beverly Bunch of the University of Illinois Springfield. And as I mentioned earlier, she's going to be speaking during a conference that's being held by the Volcker Alliance and the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, talking about state budgeting and how things can be done a little bit better. What do you expect to come from that?
Well, I think the Volcker Alliance, which is headed by Paul Volcker, and the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank, both are very concerned about the sustainability of the fiscal health of state and local governments, and not just here in Illinois. As you said, there's other states that are also facing challenges. And one way to address some of these issues is through better budgeting. So they're calling together a group of experts, a group of policymakers, hopefully the media, to discuss these issues and what can we do now to prevent the kind of deficits and crisis we've seen in the past.
the term deferred maintenance is going to be the title of the panel that you're on. A lot of people hear that term. They think of things like infrastructure, repairs they get pushed off because there's not enough money to do it. That seems to be something that occurs when government doesn't plan for the future.
That's true. And also when we get into fiscal crisis, one of the first things that we choose not to fund is maintenance. And we'll say like, oh, we can do that later. But eventually it builds up and over time it gets worse. It's like a family. If they don't replace their roof and it rains hard, then they may end up with structural damage and it'll end up costing a lot more. And that's true of state facilities as well as transportation and other infrastructure.
And of course, there is a cost involved. Do other states deal with maintenance costs on a regular basis? Do they pass certain programs to deal with it? How do most of them do it?
Well, the truth of it is the Volcker Alliance has found that deferred maintenance is really not clearly reported. We don't have a very good feel for how big it is and how states are addressing it. There are a few states. California is dealing with it. The state of Texas is dealing with the facility portion. But as a whole, I'd say it's a weak link in trying to ensure fiscal sustainability.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Beverly, but but certainly we're in the midst of an election cycle. We're seeing a lot of advertising from candidates with a lot of wealth, so they're able to get messages out there. But really, are they talking in the terms about the budget that need to be discussed here going into an election season?
Unfortunately, I don't think they are. I think, you know, sometimes people act like we have two budgets. One's the current budget, and it's close to being balanced, but it's not. And then they forget to talk about all these huge unpaid liabilities, including deferred maintenance, and as I said before, pensions and retiree health insurance and the unpaid vendor bills, and then the debt service on bonds that we've issued to partially address those other issues as well as capital.
Whoever is elected as the next governor, whether it's Governor Rauner another term or J.B. Pritzker, whoever wins this race, they're going to have to deal with some of these issues because the state probably cannot keep going down this path. It doesn't seem to me like it's going to be able to do that much longer.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, investors are going to say enough is enough. But, you know, we shouldn't have to wait for Moody's or the bond rating companies or the investors to tell it's enough. This is our state, and we should say we're ready to stand up and pay for what burden we're otherwise going to leave our children.
We were talking about deferred maintenance, which oftentimes can fall into things like capital spending, which is, you know, things like roads and buildings, bridges, things like that. How the state has not had a program in place to really deal with that for quite some time. It often needs its own revenue source to pay off bonding that goes with it. Keep hearing that everybody wants one. Everybody's talking that one may occur in the next administration of whoever is the governor. Talk about that and how it's done nationally and then Illinois and the problems that Illinois has had getting one.
Illinois does do a best practice, which is the governor's budget office prepares a multi-year capital plan, identifying what the needs are. But as you said, the funding of that plan is what's critical. And Illinois has a tendency to, every 10 years, do it in a big way, issue bonds and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And it's been about 10 years since we last did it. So now's the time to start prioritizing and really get a good survey of what the needs are, you know, to do an analysis. Right now, it's pretty decentralized. You know, IDOT Transportation does their own, the higher ed does their own, the K-12 schools do their own, but we need to put it all in one place and get a big picture of what the critical needs are and then begin prioritizing and identifying funding.
And it also seems, rather than waiting every 10 years, that it might be best to do it as we go, to continue to work on those projects every year or every few years at least, not wait every decade.
Right. But the bonds that are issued are large enough that they do last multiple years. So it's not like we haven't been doing anything. But I agree with you. To have a more systematic, ongoing plan and funding source would be good.